Afternoon. Welcome to the September 4th, 2024 meeting of Law Enforcement and Public Safety. Please rise for the pledge, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
If we roll call, please.
Chair Hansett.
Present.
Deputy Chair Hewitt. Here. Sorry. Legislator Clinton.
Here.
Legislator Maloney.
Here.
Legislator McCullough.
Here.
Legislator Walz is not here. You have quorum.
Very good. And I would like to welcome Legislator Deborah Clinton. She's joining us on this committee. We welcome you. And I'm not going to have everybody introduce themselves because we are doing something a little different moving forward to see how this works. So you'll meet everybody. So thank you for serving on the committee.
Thank you.
I need approval of the August 7th, 2024 regular meeting minutes. Discussion or questions? Motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. So we're going to try something a little different. This is something I guess they did a number of years ago where we're going to have the department heads, if they choose to and if they have anything to share, just a brief update, 1 to 2 minutes. Tell us what's going on or anything that you'd like to share with us. There will be no questions or answers at this time. It's just a little summary of what is going on in your department. Sometimes we did this at the end, but the end, everybody just is ready to adjourn and leave. So we're going to try this and see how it works. So, and if you don't have anything to share, that's fine also. So we're going to start with the Sheriff's Department. So Sheriff Figueroa.
So good afternoon, everyone. Everyone had a great summer.
Good. September's here. Quick, the summer year went by. Just a couple of quick things that our SAFE team, which is the support through advocacy and frontline engagement, relating to mental health, is fully established and is rolled out. Actually, they were involved with the Kingston Hotel, basically the DSF's hotel that we have families at. Chief Berardi from the town of Ulster, the county executive, the Department of Social Services, and the Department of Mental Health all collaborated along with the Bruderhof to make some drastic infrastructure changes there that the owners also participated. So it's a combination of business, community, law enforcement, and our faith-based community to do something that's unique and different, and that is to change the outlook for 77 kids that are located at that location. The good news is the numbers of police calls dropped dramatically, and it's because of the environment that was changed there. And so hats off to all those folks. We started the Safe Start to School traffic safety program with the county executive and the chiefs and the state police, basically focusing on school safety, school buses, make sure that our kids are going to school and are able to get on the bus and off the bus safely. I also want to introduce Melissa Donaldson, our civil administrator, our chief civil administrator, just to say hello for about 10 seconds.
So hi, I'm the chief civil administrator. I've been with the sheriff's office a little over 5 years. I got this position in January. I oversee the civil division, fiscal division, and our fiscal division. So it's very nice to meet all of you.
And that's all I have for the quick update.
Okay, thank you. From the Public Defender's Office, Liz Corona.
Sure. Thanks for this opportunity. I'm looking forward to actually updating you every single month on things that are going on. But today I just want to read to you part of a resignation letter I got from one of my felony attorneys, kind of give you a sense of where my department is. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to work in your office. Despite the incredibly demanding nature of our jobs, you have fostered the best and most supportive work environment of which I've ever been a part. I must also say that you've assembled the most talented group of attorneys and support staff of which I've been a part in order to ensure that the best possible legal representation is provided to our clients. It's been an absolute privilege to be part of your team, and I'll always be proud to tell everyone I work with you all. And the reason I read that is first because that person left because he was offered $30,000 more in the Dutchess County Public Defender's Office. That's the environment that I'm losing people to. So somebody can walk out of the office saying, I've never been happier someplace,
yeah,
and they can't stay. Mm-hmm. So expect lots of resolutions, salary increases for me. That's, and every month I look forward to actually updating you on other things that we're doing.
Thank you for sharing that. Next is District Attorney's Office, and we have Saj Ahmed here from that office.
Hi, everyone. I'm here on behalf of the DA, Manny Nagy. He couldn't make it today, and I am the liaison to the legislature. I'm just going to give you a brief update on our summer activities. We started and ended with jury trials out of Saugerties, and we have our legislator here from Saugerties, starting with the homicide trial related to Joseph Carolus. That was a two-week-long trial. It didn't end with a verdict convicting Joseph Carolus of manslaughter. We ended last week our summer with a jury trial on a car theft and a menacing of the owner of the Wenton Hotel, and we also got a verdict on that case after a week-long trial. We had some summer interns this summer from all different stages of their education, from high school seniors all the way up to law school, that did a variety of things. They visited some of our correctional facilities. I think they staff from the Ulster County Jail that led us around and gave us a tour of Ulster County Jail are here today, as well as we visited Wallkill Correctional Facility. So our interns got to experience all stages of trial from intake, or all stages rather, of a criminal prosecution from intake to actual sentence. In addition to that, we are welcoming aboard a new ADA, and I hope to report on that the next meeting. And in addition to that, we share and join in the public defender's same dilemma of potentially losing staff to our neighboring counties. As you will see, as we make our budget requests, we are going to ask for more parity. And as we get into budget season, we were pleasantly surprised to see that our productivity and our metrics are very comparable, if not better than Dutchess County. Probably shouldn't say that. but we're looking forward to working with you, Legislator Clinton, on some of our youth initiatives as well. I know there wasn't a school safety meeting today, but our office does attend that and has some news to share on our youth part and just other activities that we're having. And last but not least, I want to thank the legislature for supporting our event at the beginning of August. Our outgoing director of projects, Cassandra Seifert, was instrumental in launching and making our Intimate Partner Violence Intervention Task Force part of our office and part of our community. And our incoming director started on August 19th, Sarah Kramer Harrison. She's been with Ulster County for some time with her role in crime victims. And we're very lucky to have her. And I believe in October at the full legislative meeting, we will probably be doing some sort of presentation either with the Domestic Violence Council or as the Intimate Partner Violence Intervention Task Force in connection with Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So a lot going on. It's going to be a busy time. We have a number of trials coming up that are high profile. I always encourage people to do court observation. You will get to see some of the public defender staff usually as well in action, and it's just a great opportunity to see the court system in action. So I hope to, you know, provide some updates to all that next month.
Thank you. We're gonna.
If there's gonna be questions, there's gonna be questions.
I will finish, Legislator Maloney.
All right, sure, I'll be allowed to ask a question.
We are gonna. This is not a time for questions and answers because we just need to do a quick update, and then at the end, if you'd like to, that's fine. Okay. Thank you. Probation Department, Valerie Nakarada.
Just a couple of things. Staffing for us is we're having more difficulty with administrative staff. Similar to, it's very low paying, and most of the people on the list, they took the test, but now they're saying the salary is not sufficient. So as of next week, we'll have nobody to man our front window. So that's we're down two staff members for that. But on the positive side, on staff, we were able to finally, after 8 months, fill our mental health specialist position that we had put in for Raise the Age last year, and was granted that new position, and we finally have somebody in it. So we're very excited about that. It's a new venture for us, but we're working our way through. So I think it'll be great for the kids that we serve and the adolescent population. So,
okay, thank you. Director Erickson from Emergency Management.
Thank you, Chair. So I just would like to point out and invite all legislators to stop by any of our facilities, the 911 center, the training center, the Department of Emergency Management / Communications is a lot bigger than just 911. We have multiple divisions within it: fire services, emergency medical services, the 911 fire investigation, and emergency management. So there's a lot there that goes on. Sometimes when we look at this, we just think about 911 solely. But our larger projects continue to move forward, which is very positive. Regards to 911, we do have three dispatchers, new dispatchers that should be going online within the next month and a half or so. We are going to start hiring for the other open positions that we currently have. We can train three at a time. We also have conducted a tabletop drill with the New York State Bridge Authority on active shooter, and we will be we're in the process of doing one this Saturday on an MCI drill, which will be with a SOPIS. So we have that going on this weekend. We continue to do citizen preparedness trainings. We just recently did. We have one going on tonight in Milton. For about 40 people, and we just did one in Lloyd for about 20 people for senior citizens. And that's it right now.
Thank you. I think that's all the department heads that we have here tonight. So I found that helpful, and I hope that you also do. So next we have from the New York State Sheriff's Association, Executive Director Peter Keough, gotta say that properly. So Sheriff, I don't know if you want to speak or if our guest wants to speak first. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairman Hanson, members of the Public Safety Law Enforcement Committee. It's my pleasure to be here tonight on behalf of all the sheriffs of New York State to recognize and honor Sheriff Figueroa and all the men and women of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office on the occasion of reaccreditation of the Sheriff's Corrections Division. Only 62 counties, 35 of the 62 counties in New York State have qualified for corrections accreditation. So obviously this is no easy accomplishment, and it comes on top of.
Can you just move to the left or the right a little bit because of the camera? Thank you.
So only 35 of the state's 62 counties have been able to qualify for corrections accreditation. So obviously this is no easy accomplishment. And this comes on top of accreditation of your Sheriff's Civil Division and the Sheriff's Law Enforcement Division, which your Sheriff's Office has earned from the New York State Sheriff's Association and the New York State Law Enforcement Agency Accreditation Council. I congratulate Sheriff Figueroa and Sheriff Mullen, our relatively new superintendent, Anthony Maggio, and all those who work in the Corrections Division and all those who work in the Sheriff's Office for this achievement, which we honor tonight. Corrections officers are, to my mind, the unsung heroes of the whole law enforcement system. They spend a large part of their lives locked up behind bars with some very bad people. And they keep us safe from those people, but they must also keep those people safe from each other. They must always be mindful that some of the people in their charge are actually innocent and will be proven so, maybe. and they also must be mindful that the innocent and the guilty are both entitled to safe, humane treatment. And it's a tough, unenviable job that we ask these good public services servants to perform. and to perform it right. And obviously here in Ulster County, they do it right, as witnessed by this reaccreditation tonight. Accreditation is not something, in Field of Corrections, is not something that's available just for the asking. To achieve accreditation requires the Sheriff's Corrections Division meets a very stringent set of standards and best practices developed by experts in the field of corrections. Today, the standards and best practices consist of 166 individual components. And to gain accreditation, a jail must submit itself to scrutiny by an outside board of reviewers to ascertain whether or not they meet these many demanding standards and best practices. And I'm happy to report that the review board, which reviewed the operations of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, have reported to me that your jail meets or exceeds every one of those standards. So I want to again reiterate congratulations to Sheriff Figueroa and the men and women of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, particularly the Corrections Division. But I also want to say that congratulations are due to this committee and to the entire Ulster County Legislature and even to the citizens of Ulster County. For without your financial support and your moral support, all the good work that's being done by your sheriff and all the areas of sheriff's responsibility would not be possible. Now, accreditation does not just happen. It takes a lot of hard work by a lot of people, and the entire staff of the Corrections Division deserve to be recognized and honored for this achievement. But I particularly want to recognize a couple of individuals who devoted a great deal of extra time and effort to the many administrative and operational details required in order to demonstrate that the Sheriff's Office is most deserving of this accreditation, reaccreditation tonight. So I'd like to ask Captain Charles Stracuzzi. Come for it, Captain. Congratulations to you, and thank you so much for your efforts.
Appreciate it.
Sure. And also, I want to recognize Corporal Scott Burke, Corporal, for all your efforts in putting this program together. Congratulations, Stuart.
Thank you. Thanks for that. That's
and maybe spin to the camera there too. You got a camera behind you.
I also want to recognize and mention at least Prime Corps Medical Regional Manager Rachel Hogan's Malcolm, and Airmark Food Service Manager Karen Milton. They're not here with us tonight, but they were instrumental in aiding those who are putting this whole accreditation package together and demonstrating that the medical services that you provide to your inmates and the food service that you provide to your inmates is up to the standards that we require for accreditation. So I really think they should be congratulated and recognized, too, for their efforts. So, again, congratulations to all the partners in this significant achievement, Sheriff Figueroa, Under Sheriff Mullen, Superintendent Maggio, and all the men and women of the Sheriff's Office, particularly the Corrections Division, county legislators, and citizens of this county. And I want to thank you again, Chairman Henson, for the opportunity to publicly proclaim all the good work that's being done by your sheriff's office. And I want to ask Sheriff Figueroa and his relatively new superintendent to accept this class on behalf of the Sheriff's Association, recognizing this achievement. And I ask Sheriff Figueroa to say a few.
So thank you, Peter. I appreciate you coming down here. As a member of the New York State Sheriff's Association and the second vice president, I can't tell you how what an achievement this is for the men and women of the Ulster County Sheriff's Office, but in particular, the Corrections Division, the division that's been hit hard. We're down 25 people. We have 9 going to the academy in September. We have an additional 4 that are retiring. We hired 35 people last year and 33 left. And it's not just isolated to the sheriff's office here in Ulster County, it's every sheriff's office. But just like every other department head said here earlier, the pay, that we have to pay our people. These folks are leaving to get higher paying jobs. We're losing all that corporate knowledge, and we're unable to keep good people working in such an important job.
the corrections division, it is by far the toughest job in law enforcement. I never knew that. I was in the state police for 25 years until I became the sheriff. And I see the tough work that the men and women at the corrections division do. I applaud and thank the legislature. You heard the executive director talk about Aramac. That's a brand new through contract that that you folks approved last year. And of course, Prime Care, that was also approved for medical. So again, I want to thank Peter Kehoe. I want to thank the legislature, but more importantly, I want to thank the corrections division for their reaccreditation and how important that is because we're good now for 5 years. And it really is an important feat. So thank you, Jim and Mayor Sanford.
Thank you. Thank you, and congratulations.
All right. We're going to get into our resolutions now. And the first resolution is 458, authorizing the transfer of funds from urgent local forfeiture reserve to urgent 2024 operating budget for disbursement to local participating municipalities, Ulster County Sheriff. Sheriff Figueroa?
Yeah, so basically, thank you, Sheriff.
So this is the disbursement of our local municipalities that partake and have members assigned to the urgent task force. These are assets that are local forfeitures that are done, they're state forfeitures. And this is a local disbursement that we give the towns for putting the local members of their police department on the task force.
Okay, any discussion or questions? Legislator McCullough?
We've done this before. I haven't ever seen
it. We haven't done this since 2019. The pandemic hit, and obviously the issue with our budget director, it kind of changed things up. And then we finally were able to look at the numbers and after the audits and fix everything, and now we're ready to disperse the funds to those local municipalities.
Thank you.
Legislator Hewitt?
Thank you. Sheriff Figueroa, the acronym URGENT isn't capitalized in the resolution. Do you think we should change it?
We could. It's because it's an acronym.
It typically is, right?
It is. It is? Okay.
No.
Yep.
That's right.
Okay.
No adjustment? Okay, thank you.
Legislator Maloney?
So this is if you had an officer, I know we did the same thing with there was a family or a sex crime task force that we would get officers from certain municipalities. And this is the officers we've given to urgent. Is it going back to 2019? So if we weren't paid, because we weren't paid, right? We guys are going to be, it's retroactive.
It's from 2020 to present. Everybody else.
And is it different for every municipality depending on what it costs them for the officer, or is it the same amount of?
It's based on the participation and the hours that each member. For example, one of the local towns has somebody assigned to urgent 3 days a week. Another may have it 1 day a week. So depending on the hours that they put in, that's how the disbursement is based upon.
Did benefits fringe come into it at all, or did we figure that in a prorated way?
It is not, and that's not part of the memorandum of agreement that we have with the local municipalities.
And Legislator Maloney, just so you know, in the backup, it has the breakdown for the towns. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Can I get a motion to adopt the resolution?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
Second.
Legislator Hewitt, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution 489, establishing capital project number 706, 2024, Ulster County Jail Equipment Replacement, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget. Ulster County Sheriff's Department, Sheriff Figueroa.
Thank you, Chairman. Again, this is upgrading
equipment that hasn't been replaced and updated in over 20 years. We're talking about a refrigerator, a soup kettle, a proof cabinet, and an oven for the jail.
Discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution?
I make the motion.
Second?
I'll second.
All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution number 491, approving the execution of a contract amendment for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county Securus Technologies, Ulster County Sheriff.
This is the old company that is still in place at the Ulster County Jail for the phone services for our incarcerated individuals. We have a new contract that was approved via committee, and the new company is called Smart Technologies. They can't come into place for another 30 to 60 days, so we're doing a month-to-month agreement which secures until the new company and the new contract comes on board.
Okay. Discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution?
I make the motion.
Mr. Hewitt, second? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution 493, approving the execution of a contract for $1,693,935 entered into by the county Procom Systems, Inc., Department of Public Works.
So this is really an emergency man's contract. This is for the project up at Tanshi Mountain.
Okay, yep. So it actually goes along with the resolution, the 490, the late resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So we're building a new tower up on Tanshi Mountain. We went out to bid. Procom had been one of our lower bidders after we had to remove some to meet the WMB requirements and so on. And we have to replace the current tower. We did a loading chart survey to add the new equipment, and it will not be sustained. The tower will not be sustainable, as well as we need to add 40 additional feet to that tower. So this is to contract with Procom to build the new tower site.
Okay. Discussion or questions? Okay. Motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
All those in favor? Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution 494, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $60,600 entered into by the county CNS Engineers, Inc., Department of Public Works.
Again, this is related to the Thompson project. This is for the engineering work, I believe.
It's for the engineering work of
for the tower site.
Okay, discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution. Second. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution 495, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $8,400, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the County, New York Communications Company, Inc., Department of Emergency Management, Emergency Communications. Director Erickson?
This is one of our NICOMCO contracts for repair and maintenance of the 911 polling frequency. So this is to extend it through October of 2025 for $8,400.
Okay. Discussion or questions?
I'll make the motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution number 496, adopting proposed local law number 7 of 2024, a local law to allow enrolled volunteer firefighters, volunteer ambulance workers to be eligible for a real property tax exemption under real property tax law 466A. Do you want to speak on this first?
So this property tax exemption is already in place. These amendments do not change a property tax exemption. This will change the process by which we certify those who are eligible. Currently, the certifications are going to Director Erickson. Director Erickson does not have eyes on every single operation throughout the county. This will put the certifications will come directly from the fire chiefs or from the EMS directors, who will then certify directly to the assessors.
Okay.
We don't have oversight, through each local municipality has their own authority having jurisdiction when it comes to the fire departments. And the way it's currently written, it requires them to submit to me and I verify their participation, which I don't have oversight of. So they already have to submit to the assessor already. They have to sign off on their certification. So if they're already doing it, why create more red tape, submit to me to submit to county taxes to then submit back to the assessor? So we're just taking that loop right out.
Mr. Maloney?
That was going to be my question about the logistics of, I think everybody likes the idea to select volunteer firemen, but how do you ensure that they're doing the number of hours? So we're kind of, but it's the town's responsibility.
It's the authority having jurisdiction. So the fire district are elected officials. They're responsible to sign off and show justification that they're meeting those requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're submitting that letter and that assessment directly to the assessment. The assessor can go and audit that any time.
And that was my next question about auditing. What does the assessor know about auditing?
I wouldn't be able to answer.
We have no ability on the county level to go in and check for backup of the hours, these people, the number of calls they went on. If we had a complaint, what do we do? We just call the assessor and go investigate this?
Well, if at the town level, we certainly could look at that.
I could go and ask that question. I can't give you a definitive answer right now. I don't have that. But I could ask on what authority do we have to go look at their books to ensure that, they're meet. And the way the law was written, every jurisdiction can pass it differently, right? So in one jurisdiction A, they can have it set up to where all they need to do is be a member. Jurisdiction B can have it set up where they need to meet 10% of the calls within their jurisdiction. The law, when it was written by New York State, was that you had to have this law in place. The county already had it. We amended it to meet the new law put forward by New York State.
And we did pick up the New York State language regarding if you're providing false information that is in this version with the amendments. But we can certainly take that back and hold it.
You're allowed to set the county comptroller in to do an audit on, is that something we can legally do? Should it be written into the contract that we can do that, especially if we had a complaint from a certain municipality, maybe a whistleblower?
I know the state controller can. I don't know
the county controller. Yeah.
I would have to. I would have to ask that question.
And of the tax breakdown, school, county, town, what are we exactly giving?
The county, this is specifically for county taxes.
Yes.
Everything else has to be passed by each authority. So the school district needs to pass for themselves, the town.
So I would think we'd have the right to go in and audit. I would just like to know the specifics of it and whether or not we should have written it into, it's essentially a contract that we're signing with each municipality.
Well, this is
no,
our local law.
It's our local law.
This is our local law. That we have enabling this exemption under our local law.
Right.
So we can certainly have that conversation with the controller.
It's essentially tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
We probably have jurisdiction and something that would be a deterrent and something every couple of years, or if a complaint comes in that there's some shenanigans somewhere, we could send the controller to decide who we're going to send, and we should have the ability to run and take a quick look. It should be hard to prove
mm-hmm.
the number of calls you've been on or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, we can certainly bring that back.
I just don't like the idea
mm-hmm.
of an assessor having that responsibility. So, go ahead.
So,
you have a question? Go ahead.
Go ahead.
$600 seems like a small amount to advertise the program. Do you have a plan for the advertising?
I think it was advertised in the newspaper.
We so usually what happens that recruitment is done by the local jurisdiction. We do try to help out with certain types of things of recruitment. We're trying to push forward a program right now, mirroring the Sheriff's Office Explorer program,
mm-hmm.
where we would have our own Explorer program, but for the fire service. But a lot of the recruitment happens at the local level, and they do say that, there's these tax incentives here, each taxing jurisdiction can provide this incentive.
And I believe the $600 in this resolution is referring to our two approved county publications. So those two newspapers,
yes.
Probably $300 per solicitation.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah. Yeah.
As I was mentioned earlier, you said that the assessors may not be able to do an audit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to maybe get an outside firm or consultant to do?
I think the county controller would be able to.
Yeah, it'd be an easy enough.
Yeah.
Like probably one of the easier things to quickly look into.
I just would want to have a conversation with our office to understand that.
I mean, I can reach out tomorrow. I mean, I would have, it makes sense, right, that I would assume that they could do it. I just don't want to go on record saying that they can without knowing. I understand why also remember that this law is already in place.
Okay,
I just had a quick point off of Chris, and it's something I think about a lot when we do things like this. One of the reasons you do this is not just to reward people that are already volunteering in an arena that we don't have enough of, and we don't know what to really do about that, but it's to incentivize others to maybe get involved and enhance the services. And with $600 and only kind of going word of mouth, basically people that are already involved are going to hear about this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they get a friend to come do it. But at one point when I looked into it a couple of years ago, we spent a couple $100,000 a year on public service announcements, but it seems like it's the same ones. At one point it was get your flu shot. You know, Mike Hine was on the radio every 2 seconds telling you get your flu shot. And sometimes when we do these things, I think a momentary month of running, you know, cutting in, maybe not adding to that budget,
mm-hmm.
but maybe deciding, well, we don't have to do the Vin Martello one that we always do that I hear, and maybe advertising something new we've done that we're offering something like this, and maybe you would get, I don't know, a handful of people that normally wouldn't have been reached, say, just that was that little push they always thought about going and getting involved and volunteering. But the public service announcement, I don't know, we at one point we're spending $300,000 a year,
okay.
and I don't want to add to it. Like I said, it's maybe take a little from something that we've been doing over and over again for years, and it's always something to think about as we pass things.
Senator Hewitt.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's important to cast a wide net. So even having the county executive's office do a press release, I think would help get more traction.
Any other discussion or questions? Okay, motion to adopt the resolution. McCullough, second. Clinton, all those in favor? Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution number 497, amending the 2024 Ulster County budget related to expenses associated with case management software, Department of Probation.
The long story in this, I'm going to keep it short. So we've been using this case management software since, I think, 2008 to this thing. We had always been paying it just as an invoice. In 2022, after going to contract and resolution training, we checked with the county attorney, and they said, yes, we should be doing the contract. So we initiated that process in September of 2022. Well, there's a perfect storm of a lot of changes, getting the information, and then the company got bought out, so it was a new company, and it just, I won't bore you with all of the details, but ultimately what happened in 2023, we were never able to get a contract in place. We had the funds set aside, but we were not able to pay it without the contract, and we were not able to, is it called encumber, or do a purchase order
to roll the funds.
So because there was no contract, so we weren't able to roll the funds, so we never spent them. We finally have gotten permission through the county attorney and purchasing to pay. So we paid the previous year invoice with our 2024 funds, but now we owe 2024 and we don't have the money. So we're asking for the money so we could pay for the really what we had put aside for 2023.
Great. Question or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll make the motion.
Hewitt, second.
Second.
Clinton, all in favor? Great. Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution 498, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Division of Criminal Justice Services for the Burn JAG interest grant. District Attorney, like to speak on this?
Yeah, so this is a resolution related to funding we are receiving from Division of Criminal Justice Services. It is for our crash and crime scene reconstruction team, rather. Our investigator, Eric Paulding, gave a presentation at the last meeting. I know some legislators weren't here for that, but essentially our investigator will go out and help local law enforcement provide assistance, use this laser scanner to scan a crime scene. It's most commonly used for accidents, and it will better help the prosecution in those types of cases. We just had a resolution. We had a
conviction on one of the earlier hit and runs from this year out of Saugerties last week. So that's a situation when our investigator, our investigative team could go out and scan the scene and utilize that information for prosecution. It's 100% state funded, so there's no county share.
Okay, any discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution. Second. All in favor?
Yes.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Resolution 504, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a lease agreement with Itanchi Association, Inc. for the purpose of constructing a public safety communications tower and operations of a public safety radio system tower for the public safety radio system. Department of Emergency Management, Emergency Communications. Director Erickson?
Yeah, so we currently do have a contract with Itanchi Association that sunsets when we decommission the current tower. So in order to construct this new tower, we're looking to sign a new lease agreement that would take effect immediately, take effect upon signature of the chair, so we can construct the tower, and then it would take over when we build the tower and we go live with our radio system.
Okay. So it's a land lease under the actual tower structure.
Correct.
That's how this is.
Yep.
Right. Discussion or questions? Motion to adopt the resolution. Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. And that was our last resolution. Next month, our next meeting is October the 2nd. Our meeting will be held at the Law Enforcement Center. And can I get a motion to adjourn?
Question.
Yes.
Okay, what day is available for the affirmation?
Well, there's always court session every single day. If there's an interesting trial coming up, I can advise somebody of the dates. I think the murder trial is scheduled for further this week. Kingston City Court is 5 days a week. That's a further strict in jurisdiction. I know we had talked about drug court these days. I can provide after the committee the court schedules, but it's all.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.